from the first warning to the all clear, Mix 107.3 delivers live and local severe weather coverage from the local names you know and trust. KIOW Forest City, a Koloff Media station.
Out on the field where the stories are told, warrior hearts beating brave and bold. Small town pride in the air we breathe. The spirit of the game will never leave. Forever and always, go Warriors, we shout. With fans in the stands, there's never a doubt.
That's up.
Game day, Saturdays, where memories
are made. Under
the lights, we fight the good
Welcome to Warriors Live Show, presented by MBT. Here from Shooter's Bar and Grill on Highway 69 North in Mason, in Fort Mason City. What am I thinking? Locally, you're in us on KIOW Mix 107.3, worldwide on KIOW.com and Facebook Live, and also X. Hi, everybody out there from the Waldorf Gridiron Club pages. I'm Troy Thompson here once again with head coach Tyler Chapa. Lots of fans here with us tonight at Shooter's Bar and Grill. How about a big Wooball holler from the Wooball football fans here tonight? There we go, making some noise now. We want to recognize, of course, the rest of our Warriors Live Show sponsors that make this happen for Warrior fans every Wednesday during the football season. Pritchard's Forest City Auto Center and Chrysler Forest City, FCIS, Shooter's Bar and Grill, and once again, our title sponsor, MBT Bank. Lots of fans out here tonight. As you can hear, you're always welcome to come on down if you're nearby for a cold drink, great food, great fans, and lots of Warrior football. This Saturday, our Warriors are on the road again, this time to Mitchell, South Dakota, home of the Corn Palace. And also home of lots of corn
people
coming
don't
out
know
of the
what
field.
That is.
It's Corn Palace. It's the only one in the world, apparently.
We know what that is. We did a whole episode.
It's a great big building that's covered with corn. They do basketball games and events in there, and
do they
something
play
to
home
see
basketball?
On the way to Wall Drug. What?
Do they play home games there?
No, I don't think that I do.
It's on their athletics site. They do, right?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. We're getting some audience participation. Apparently, they do play some games at the Corn Palace. What if they play cornhole at the Corn Palace?
Boo.
Oh, come on, that was too easy. Anyway, it's also the home of Dakota Wesleyan University. They're the Tigers. And the kickoff this Saturday on their homecoming in Mitchell, South Dakota is 2 p.m. at Joe Quintal Field. So let's get into a summary of last week's practice, where we're at with practice so far this week, and then how recruiting went. Coach, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, good Wednesday.
It's a great Wednesday. It's a Wednesday, a bye week Wednesday, wrapping up our first bye week. We got another one next week after this game Saturday. Yeah. Take a little break.
Yeah.
Take a little break after Dak West's. And take another bye, and then wrap up the next two games.
Well, when the schedule first came out, and we had a bye week, a game, and a bye week, and I was like, man, that's going to be weird.
Yeah,
I love it now. I'm very grateful for it. We got some guys healthy that were hurt for a lot of the season. We've got some guys coming back that are ready to roll, and so I think we're going to be in a good spot.
It was meant to be. It seemed weird at the beginning when the schedule, like you said, came out. It's like, why are we taking bye week between one game?
Yeah.
But now Chris Walter got hurt the first game.
He's played a quarter and a half of football already.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, but that sounds good to me. We're back and 99% healthy, 95% healthy.
Yeah, we feel pretty good. We got some O-linemen back. We're almost back to full strength. Guys are still beat up. I mean, it's week 8 of the season.
Yeah.
You're gonna be hurting, bumps and bruises here and there. But it was a really good week recruiting. I thought we were able to get into some Des Moines high schools, some Minnesota high schools, and we've got, I think, in our next two home games, we've got over 40 recruits coming.
That sounds good.
So, you know, there's still a good buzz, and we're still kind of promoting our vision, but it was good to get rested. We got a lot of young guys, some good reps to see who can do what, and got some older guys rested up, so it was good for us.
Well, I tell you what, the last week and a half has given you, like you said, an opportunity to take a little bit of a rest, but you've also been practicing, got those young guys, those reps. Does that give you an extra 2 weeks to prepare for the Dak West game.
Normally it does, but they were on a bye week as well.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like we were able to watch their game and get the most recent update. So they were on a bye as well. So they were, you know, we practiced and worked on us on Tuesday, did a lot of fundamentals, did a lot of special teams, got some guys worked in, got a lot of reps. And then Wednesday we were on the road recruiting. Thursday we did a lot more Dak West stuff.
Okay.
Going into the weekend. So, but then I'm sure they did the same thing. I'm sure their schedule is very similar to ours.
Well, so when you're out there recruiting, and you said you were in Des Moines and you went up into Minnesota to hit some of the schools up there, I guess at this time in the year for high school football, they're starting to wrap up their seasons. The local schools, most of the local schools around here are done, their last game being last Friday. Who are you talking to, and how does that process work?
Yeah, so we try to hit as many schools in Iowa that we can. We want to, I mean, we have it on our helmet, 641. We've got the state of Iowa. So we're really trying to bring in what we consider local, but our local radius is about 6 hours. So
yeah.
6 hours in all directions. But I think for us, you know, our day trip, there and back trip, it's, you know, some guys were gone at 5 a.m. to hit 4 or 5 schools in Des Moines, and we're just trying to clean up some of that, so then in November after the season, when we do hit the road, we can actually get out a little bit further, stay overnight, you know, get out to Davenport, get up past the cities or whatever it may be. So we're trying to clean up as many local schools as we can and try to get some of those guys to games, whether they're juniors or seniors. And so that's really what last week was about, and it's going to be, you know, pretty similar, except we'll hit some of the junior colleges next bye week.
Okay. So if you're out there and you're beating the streets and everything like that, you're talking to – how do you come up with the names? Are you doing – you know, looking at – like in Iowa, we've got the Bound system that pretty much tracks everybody's stats. You're talking to coaches. You've got relationships built with schools in these areas.
Yeah, it's all of the above. Mm-hmm. We like to email, and you know, a couple weeks ago we'll email the head coach and see if he gets back to us, and if not, then we'll call the secretary and say, hey, who's the head coach? How do we get hold of him? But we'll look at Bound, and Twitter's huge.
Okay.
We'll reach out to a lot of these guys and see what the deal is recruiting wise and how their season's going, and start building those relationships. I mean, all of this stuff has been happening since May last year, but you know, going back to our prospect camp, we had a lot of really good players. We had that satellite prospect camp down at Des Moines Christian. Coach Daniels was gracious enough to let us use his facilities and have guys from Omaha and all over the area go down there. And so we got a lot of resources that we use. And so that bye week, I think it's really important for us to go see them in school. We want them to come to our place and see our facilities and see our atmosphere and see how we coach on game day. I think it's important that you reciprocate that.
Well, absolutely. And hey, it's cool when a university football coach or coaches walk into the school, walk down the hall, say, I got to go talk to Joey, and that's good for them too. So that's
sometimes we'll just show up. We don't get a response from anybody. That's not going to deter us either. You got to tell us to go away, I think. And so I've got these guys doing a really good job, and a lot of those guys were gone all week long, so that's what the bye week's for.
Well, a lot of people, I mean, so how do you have that conversation? Obviously, we've got some losses in our background here. So in that conversation with potential recruits in high school, you know, what how does that go?
Yeah, you're just very transparent. You know, the easy thing is to try to hide from it and try to make all the excuses for it, but the hard thing is to really own it. And you know, these guys have done a great job, and my philosophy is like, I know what the GPAC is, and it's not going to be easy, and you have to come here understanding that it's not going to be easy, and that I'm going to make you work for it, and we're going to try to push you to be the best, because that's how every program is started. So we're still in the process of young guys playing, and that's a big selling point for us right now still is, hey, I'm not going to guarantee you anything, but there is a good opportunity that you might have to be thrown into the fire and learn that way. And so, you know, I just think when you're transparent with them and they can see it and they can hear it in your voice that you actually care about this, like, hey, I'm not okay with being and whatever. That's not who we are. This is the vision. This is how we're going to get there. You're going to help us get there. Some of these other programs, they're going to be good with or without you.
Right.
We're still in a point where we need some of these young guys to either play right away or You know, they'll be developmental guys year one, and then year two is when they're going to really get their shot. And then by the time they're seniors, fifth-year seniors, by then, now they're going to be butt kickers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, ideally in university football, you expect if they don't redshirt, they don't expect necessarily to play the first year or two, and then they work into. You think about Luke Beyer, you know, he didn't play much, and then the last couple of years, he's just been, you know, a huge
He's got another year after this.
And it's just keep on going.
I mean, he's going to be 25 years old playing football.
He wants to play football. And so there's but then there is the GPAC, and across the span, every team is still utilizing a freshman here or there or whatever, and so I mean, ideally, you don't want to necessarily be playing with all freshmen. That can be problematic and young. You know, then coaches say, "Well, we've got a young team," you know, and it's like, "Well, there's pros and cons to that."
Yeah,
the cons are immediate, but the pros down the road.
And there's pros if all those guys stick around.
Yeah,
right? And that's been a struggle for us a little bit in the retention piece. We've gotten better as the years have gone on. Like last fall to spring was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And now some of our sophomores that are playing have gotten a lot better. Those guys will be juniors next year. And so then can we keep retaining our freshman classes? I mean, we used to be in a spot where, you know, this guy still, like Keegan Handel, sticks it out, but there's only two guys from his class still here.
Right.
You know, we can't be, I mean, Concordia had 42 seniors last year. Dort had 36 seniors last year. Well, those guys didn't have the immediate success, but when your team is winning and you're having the success, not playing is a little bit easier than when you're losing all the games. Not playing seems really, really frustrating.
Yeah, well, I imagine that becomes part of the conversation too. I mean, I suppose if you're in a situation where you're having a conversation with a potential player for you, and they've got their mindset that they're gonna, you know, that their talent's not going to be wasted, or they have this, they're going to come and play for Waldorf. We've seen that happen in the past, right? Okay. Then those guys, you know, pop smoke. Sometimes mid-season, they just leave, and it's just like, I was like, well, that guy was probably never the right fit to begin with, which is unfortunate that they made that choice, you know. But at the same time, you know, look, I hate to say it, but there's a butt for every pair of pants. I usually say it a different way than that, you know. But if they know from the beginning, like, this is a program that's going to build you up as a player, as a man, you're going to get your education. You may not play your first year or two, but you might.
Yeah.
And you're going to earn it on merit. And I suppose if they're in that six-hour radius, it makes it a lot easier for them to stay.
Correct. And I think exactly right. I think nowadays it's a little bit tougher. Like, everybody wants everything right now. Everybody wants it right now. And so you have to continue. Keep having these conversations like, hey, buddy, we told you that it was going to be hard. We told you this was going to be a long process. And, you know, everybody always talks about, like, hey, trust the process, do this. Well, what is the process? Well, we are smack dab in the middle of the process.
Yeah.
And it sucks. It's really, really hard. And who's going to really come out with us on the other side of all of this? That's who is really going to be the foundation of it. So, I mean, I find myself, I try to be very intentional with our freshmen right now. Because you know, I could tell week four, week five, you know, they go out to practice and some of them have sad faces on. It's like, buddy, you're fine right now. I don't need you to play. And the reason that we're losing isn't because you're not playing. Like, that's not, we're just not playing good enough, period. But then you get some guys that stick it out and they show you in practice, and some of those guys get moved up to the travel squad and I put them on special teams.
There you go.
I mean, that's really step one of it. And so if they know you care about them and you love them, they'll do anything for you.
Well, I think you've proven that too. You know, your team loves you. Your coaching staff is taking care of players. It's the number one thing they talk about on the podcast. They just say that they appreciate the family atmosphere. They know that the coaches care about them. They know the name and all of that, which is good. Look, I think a lot of people don't realize, and I've got, you know, four boys, three of them gone out and play college ball of some sort, and we'll see what the fourth one does. And the reality is that, you know, when our first one went out, we just assumed, like a lot of parents and a lot of players, that I guess, you know, the coach is going to come and Kirk Ferentz is going to come and watch you on a Friday night. Kirk Ferentz is getting ready to play a game Saturday. He's not coming to watch you in your 2A football game, right?
He might send a graduate assistant or something.
Maybe. But the reality is that you got to put yourself out there. I don't know if a lot of athletes realize that. There's a lot of great homegrown, corn-fed, Iowa, Minnesota, radius kids that are out there that they still, maybe they're the first one in their family that have had the opportunity to play at another level, and they don't realize that you have to, you don't know who they are.
Right.
You could spend a lot of time doing the research and looking up data and finding the, you know, talking to coaches and everything like that. But the best way to get in front of a coach is to actually, like you said, put yourself out there, message them on Twitter. Every school, particularly, who cares about the other ones, ours, is recruit me. It's right there. Click on that. Get that information in. They're going to get a phone call. And I don't know if parents realize that, too. It's like, why hasn't anybody talked to my kid?
Yeah.
It's like, well, what has your kid done to let anybody know that they are alive?
Yeah, and this year, more than any, like we talk about family. It's all over our building. It's on our helmets. I've had more conversations with parents this year than I ever have. I mean, sometimes, you know, call, judge me if you want, but I would see the phone ring. I'd be like, I don't have them. I know exactly who that is. This year, I'm very eager to hear, you know, because my parent meeting, I had a really good parent meeting. I had a lot of parents there.
Yeah.
And my big thing was like, it's not okay to quit. Like, your son is going to, it's going to be the hardest year that he's gone through up until this point.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to get everything he wants right away. He's not going to get the number he wants. He's not going to, you know, get the weightlifting partner he wants. He's not going to get the playing time he wants. But there's a process to it, and
right.
if he sticks it out, he's going to be better for it, and we're going to be better for it. So it's been good, and it's an everyday thing. Our culture stuff, the culture only works if you live it, breathe it, and you teach it every single day.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's a huge part of the story, isn't it? Just being able to. From start to finish, from meeting with mom and dad and having that conversation, saying, look, this is a job in some ways. This is a way to pay for, it's a scholarship, you know, whatever your level of scholarship might be. This is a way for you to offset your cost of an education.
Yeah.
That's a good education. It's a private school education, and it's your job. A lot of people don't realize that a college athlete is spending at least 800 hours of their year in that sport.
Yeah,
that's a job.
I don't even let our guys wear pajama pants into the DJAC because that's the workplace. You're not allowed to go to work.
There you
go. When you go to work, you're not allowed to put pajama pants in. So when I first did that, this was like a year ago, everyone was like, what? I want to be comfortable. Well, what if I came to work in pajama pants? Coach Gaspin would be upset with me. You know, so like we try to teach it like a job, but also you got to preach it every day.
Yeah. Yeah, dress up. Get up. At least
you don't gotta
skip the pajama pants.
Don't have the pajama pants.
Skip the pajama pants and the Crocs. You know,
you gotta
have proper footwear.
Yeah.
That's a different rant for another time.
Yeah, dang right.
There we go. Well, speaking of another time, though, we're about 18 minutes after, so we're going to take a break here in just a second. What we're going to do is a lot like last week. We're going to talk to a couple of the assistant coaches, and we're going to then bring you back and have you come talk about the game that we're going to play up there in Mitchell, South Dakota. And so we'll be back in just a little bit, and we'll be talking to Coach Ben Brummer, the D-line coach. We'll be right back after these messages.
At MBT Bank, we understand that harvest time is the heart of the farming year. It's a season of hard work, pride, and perseverance. This is Darren Teal, Ag Loan Officer at MBT Bank in Forest City. As your trusted ag lending partner, MBT is here to support you every step of the way. We wish all of our local farmers a bountiful and safe harvest. Remember, we're just a call or visit away for all your financial needs. MBT Bank, member FDIC.
FCIS Insurance of Forest City is your locally owned and operated independent insurance agency. FCIS is proud to support the Waldorf Warrior football team along with our local high school athletes. We look forward to watching your success on the field and in the gym. When you need a team to support yours, look to the professionals at FCIS Insurance. We carry all lines of insurance from home to life, car to health, RV, and everything in between. See us today at FCISinsurance.com or call us at 641-585-2925. FCIS Insurance Services of Forest City.
Shooter Sports Bar and Grill is proud to host Warriors Live each Wednesday night during the football season. Come and see the show live while enjoying delicious hot wings, specialty burgers, tasty sandwiches and wraps, the best pizza in town, and a cold refreshment. Our kitchen is open Tuesday through Saturday, 11 to 9, and Sunday, 11 to 8. Late night pizzas on Friday and Saturdays until 10 p.m. in the bar. Shooters, your home for Warriors Live Coaches Show. Go Warriors from Shooter Sports Bar and Grill.
Hi, this is Ryan Harvey, the sales manager at Chrysler of Forest City. Now is a great time to have your vehicle looked over before you hit the open road with our highly trained staff here at Chrysler of Forest City. Or, if you are looking for your next vehicle, stop in and see our experienced sales staff. Our inventory changes daily, so swing by often and see what's new on the lot, or visit our website at ChryslerForestCity.com.
Forever and always, go Warriors, we shall.
All right, welcome back here to Shooters Bar and Grill, the Warriors Live Show. Brought to you by MBT, and it's great to be here sitting now with our defensive line coach, Ben Brummer, who we were just talking before we came back on the air, and, you know, we have a... We got a new SID, sports information director, something. I don't know exactly how the titles move around there, but I was looking up some information about you, and I got your name and your pictures on the website, and you were saying that you submitted your bio to them last year.
Yeah.
So it's a little slow on the uptake right now, getting the bio done, because that's weird. Because I mean, later we're going to talk to Riley Bartis, and his bio's up, but maybe Riley did it himself. He probably typed it in himself.
No, that's about fitting. Since he got hired, he's got a better version of everything I got.
Oh well, let's talk about what you've got, Ben Brummer. Here, you came to us last year. This is your second season with the Warriors, and it seems like every time it's not every time I see you, because I see you every Wednesday. That would be strange, what I'm about to say, but it seems like when I do see you, there's another kid involved. Like you are starting a family and planting roots right here in Forest City.
Oh yeah, so
yeah. Look at that.
We got our son Otto, who was born a week after we moved to town.
Yes, that's right.
And then Darcy was born 4 days before camp started.
Otto and Darcy.
Yes.
Yeah.
My daughter.
Yes, very good. And I can see them, the camera to camp food. I noticed that Otto's got a bib that's like it catches the food.
Well, he's got to get a second chance at it.
Anyway, he can get back. He's got a pocket, a bib with a pocket. That's a great idea. Boy, I could use that. I mean, when we get done here, you send me that Amazon link or wherever you got that thing. That's pretty good. All right, so you're the defensive line coach, and
yes,
where did you come from so everybody knows?
Elk River, Minnesota.
Elk River, Minnesota. Well, that's a ways. Is that like how far? Is that 3 hours away?
Three and a half.
Yeah. And what did you do in Elk River? That's where you're from.
Yeah.
And is that one school, one high school?
Yeah, that's one. Well, they used to be one huge high school for three towns. Now it's three high schools in the three surrounding towns.
Oh, one huge, but then it split up into three.
Yeah.
Same school district.
Yep.
You played football.
Yes, sir.
And what did you play?
I played safety and slot receiver.
Okay. All right. And then where'd you go to school?
Crown College.
Crown
in
College.
Minnesota.
In Minnesota. Yeah. Where was that? Where's that in Minnesota?
St. Bonifacius, Minnesota. And if you've heard of it, I'd be surprised.
Well, I have not heard of it, but where is that?
That's in near Chanhassen, Minnesota, just east of this, or west of the city, sorry.
Oh, west of the cities, but
yeah.
You said Chanhassen.
Yeah.
No, I've heard of that. Okay, very good. And so what took you there?
Just got recruited there. They were like one of the few schools who wanted me to play.
There you go.
They were foolish enough to promise I could start as a freshman, which
did that
sounds
happen?
Good. It did happen.
It did happen.
Sounds good.
Yeah?
I played safety in high school, and they put me at corner, which is way different.
Okay, yeah.
So.
Yeah. You played corner in college.
Yes, sir.
And now you coach the D-line.
Yeah.
So how did that transpire?
I asked.
You wanted to?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I played at Crown. I played corner and nickel for 2-3 years, and then they moved me to outside backer.
Okay.
Either I got fat or everybody else was faster. I can't remember which.
You got stronger, bigger. Not maybe faster, but bigger, stronger.
Yeah, that's the right way to say it.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sure. But then I went to Texas, coached some safeties, coached outside backer in Missouri at a college, and then I got hired on at MNU, which was the last school I was at.
Okay.
We had a D-line coach. He and the head coach had to part ways. So they're just like a week before our first game, my first year, like, you want to be the D-line coach? I was like, heck yeah.
Yeah.
So haven't looked back since. It's been great.
How long ago was that?
That was 2020, so 5 years
ago. Oh, 5 years ago. So you've been coaching the D-line for 5 years.
Yeah.
And so in that time, coming from, the defensive backfield, having been a safety, then moving into the corner position and nickel, like you said, and then linebacker, you're just all, in the D-back position. How did you learn how to coach the D-line?
Well, I had good teachers. When I was at Missouri S&T, I learned from Todd Drury, who's he's working the other way. He's the corners coach over at SEMO in Missouri, but he, a great D-line coach, great DC, taught me a ton about that, got to work with our D-line while I was there some, And then Ivan Cordova, who's now the head coach at MNU, taught me a ton about really the philosophy of D-line and how to teach that. And then, you know, since then I've developed my own kind of view and seen it, and I always try to go seek out people to learn from. So I've learned from a ton of people.
So what is your philosophy of the D-line that you share with the players?
Well, the big thing is we've got to be, you know, in the run game, we've got to be do our job first. We're a unit. We don't leave others hanging out to dry. The thing I like to say is we want to keep the linebackers clean. We make TFLs, they make tackles.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't let guys run around blocks. I don't let guys slip blocks. Everything is play through the O-line, be physical. You'll get your opportunity to make your big play. Make sure that we don't hinder the linebacker. And then in the pass game, it's really, you know, pin your ear back and go. Mm-hmm. 6 seconds of the hardest work you can do and just great effort and fundamentals.
So how does a defensive lineman know when it's a run play versus a pass play?
Well, we're always looking at our key. Our key is our O-lineman, and he's going to tell you. It's pretty simple. If he's standing straight up and going backwards, it's pass.
Yeah.
If he's low to the ground and he's coming at you, it's probably run.
Yeah.
And you probably got to get your hands up and move him.
And he's trying to turn you one way or the other. So footwork matters. Toes point in a certain direction. Fingers, and all of those are keys. What other keys are there?
Well, yeah, there's that, and then a lot of what we work on as a whole defense is trying to, you know, what we say, give them pre-snap information. So if, you know, it's first and 10, you know, the odds of them chucking the ball deep right out of the gate isn't super high with some teams. But, you know, and then with other teams it may be. So we scout them, give them that information. Same with formations, where we are on the field, if we're in our end or their end, and giving that information really speeds it up.
Yeah.
You know, and for D-line, it's so much simpler because it's pre-snap information and it's what that guy in front of me does. There's not a lot of lying an O-lineman can do.
There's not a ton of shifting, but there are occasional shifts you'll see, or sometimes they'll bring in, you know, tighten up on the tight end, or they'll do something different or whatever. So those things from your scouting, from your watching film and sharing that with the D-line room, like, they're looking for that stuff.
Yeah, or listening, really. Mm-hmm. So the majority of the time, our eyes are front on the guy in front of us.
Yeah.
So we can't see as much of that peripheral, the movement, the shifting. But we have communication in the defense from the linebackers, from the safeties, and then we're hearing all of that. Well, I always tell them to be good boyfriends. Boyfriends listen.
Yeah, good boyfriends listen.
Good boyfriends listen. So we listen, and they're going to give us the info, and if we're paying attention, we should have a good clue of what's going on.
Now, if there's a, I guess, a situation where you've got – I lost my train of thought here. I said that good boyfriend thing really threw me off there. So I was listening to you, and I was like, that is good advice. Okay, all right. So anyway, so speaking of this, so they're doing all the talking behind you. The linebackers, the D-backs, they're shouting around saying what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. So if somebody is coming up, you know, through, you know, a gap, how are we? This season, I guess, is my point. Is like Nico got a little bit of a reputation. Like there's times that he's getting double teamed.
Yeah.
And you expect that, or that's a good thing. In my opinion, that's a positive thing because now it's you know, 2-on-1.
Yep.
That's good. We got a little bit of an advantage, don't we?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's one that's part of the business. Nico plays. Anybody who plays between the tackles, you're going to get double-teamed at some point.
Yeah.
That's just part of the job. But, it is an ideal for us because the linebackers can see more, therefore move more.
Yeah.
And we, in our defense at least, are single-gap players. We're not playing two gaps at a time. So if they're double-teaming us, that's one less guy they have to block someone else. That also means somebody else on the line of scrimmage is getting a one-on-one, and we should win it.
Yeah.
I'd see it as a positive, and then also is, like you said, it's something of a reputation he's created of being a little bit of, you know, havoc guy last year especially, but definitely something, you know, noses just get from being in the position, the big guys, and then tackles like him, being between the tackles.
Yeah.
You're going to get double-teamed.
Now, you said talk about some of the keys and all of that, but you know your eyes are forward. You're watching what's happening in front of you. You're winding the gap or whatever it happens to be, but you're also watching the ball because I got to say, for the most part, the defense, the Warrior defense, has been pretty clean this year. There's not a lot of offsides.
Yeah, that's... It's funny you say that this week. The offense was testing us yesterday and today with that, but we've been doing a good job getting better at that's something we talk about a lot is we don't want operational penalties. We harp on it. And then the way I coach, at least, we don't move when the ball moves. We move when our guy moves, which decreases the amount of chances of you jumping off sides because that ball is quick, but if you see even a little flicker, you might jump because you get reared up.
So, right, right.
You know, if as long as your guy moved and then you move, he should be the one getting the penalty if the ball didn't snap.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so, yeah, we've been focusing a lot on that, and, yeah, that's something we're proud of that we haven't had a lot of those.
Well, that's good. And then have you had a when you have your meetings, I guess, with your D-line group? I mean, what's the flow of the week? Are we progressing towards something, or how does that start out? Say like a Sunday night or a Monday?
Yeah. So Monday's scouting report week. We start as a big group and get the big picture as a whole defense, and then we leave when they're talking about all that. Passing routes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because our job during that is go hit the guy trying to throw. So so we'll go off in our room, talk about what calls we're going to run. We watch their run game, try to get a beat on how it fits what we do, which we're fortunate. We're pretty similar to a Northwestern and a Dort in terms of scheme. So we're able to learn a lot from watching other teams play those guys. And then as the week goes on, we'll do pass protection. We're going to look at how they're protecting the passer. And, you know, tomorrow morning as defense, we do a meeting where we're watching film. And we have a group out standing up watching the film and talking out their job, you know, visualizing it and, you know, just making sure everyone's on the same page. This is the check. This is the call. Those sorts of things.
Very good. Well, you also, I know that you have a tendency to run. From when you first got here last year, like you were just running, like you're running, like you would make your guys run everywhere. Is that still something that's happening?
Yeah, the big thing with me is like you got to always be at that point. It's what we say is every day is fourth and goal from the 1 yard.
Every day is fourth and goal.
If you live like that, you practice like that, you're gonna play like that.
Yeah.
And for me, it's just that's how I was as a player. I don't know if it's because I wasn't as gifted as other guys, so I was like, I'll just go full tilt the whole time. Luckily, I'm blessed with guys that are not only gifted, but they have the attitude, okay, whatever you say, coach, let's go do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we'd like to run around during practice. We'd like to run around during the game. Hopefully, I'm running because we took the ball back to the touchdown.
That's
Saturday.
Right. There you go. All right. Well, that's a great spot to hang it up with Coach Ben Brummer, who you've got an idea now of his bio, which eventually is going to appear on our website there, maybe with child number 3, perhaps, or whatever it takes to get there. Hey, you never know what happens. All right, we'll be back in a couple of minutes. And thanks, Coach. I'm glad you're on our side. We'll be back right after these messages from our sponsors.
At MBT Bank, we know that farming is more than just a job. It's a way of life. This is Jason Lubin, your ag loan officer in Forest City. Whether it's harvest time or planning for next season, MBT Bank is your trusted partner in ag lending. We're here to support your needs with personalized financial solutions. Reach out today and let us cultivate success together. MBT Bank, member FDIC.
Where will you go?
With MBT Bank.
Where will you go?
With MBT.
Where will you go?
With MBT.
Shooters is proud to be the host of Warriors Live each Wednesday night at 7 p.m. See Coach Chapa and find out more about the Waldorf Warriors team from pregame to postgame. With delicious sandwiches, appetizers, burgers, pizza, and more, we have something for every taste. Before or after the game and Wednesday nights, come cheer on the Warriors at Shooters Sports Bar and Grill.
FCIS Insurance of Forest City is your locally owned and operated independent insurance agency. FCIS is proud to support the Waldorf Warrior football team along with our local high school athletes. We look forward to watching your success on the field and in the gym. When you need a team to support yours, look to the professionals at FCIS Insurance. We carry all lines of insurance from home to life, car to health, RV, and everything in between. See us today at FCISinsurance.com or call us at 641-585-2925. FCIS Insurance Services of Forest City.
Hi, this is Ryan Harvey, the sales manager at Chrysler of Forest City. Now is a great time to have your vehicle looked over before you hit the open road with our highly trained staff here at Chrysler of Forest City. Or, if you are looking for your next vehicle, stop in and see our experienced sales staff. Our inventory changes daily, so swing by often and see what's new on the lot, or visit our website at ChryslerForestCity.com.
Welcome back to Warriors Live here at Shooter's Bar and Grill in the north end of Forest City. Still plenty of time to come out and see us here. And, you know, there's two things we neglected to mention with when Coach Ben Brummer was up here. First of all, he didn't say anything about Michaela. Didn't say, hi, Michaela. That's right. So she's, Ben. He says, good boyfriends listen. But I don't know. You got to say your wife's name there. We did a good job there. So we got that covered. And the other thing I forgot to mention is he's also the equipment guy too. So he gets to work with with Andy and everything. So it was a good experience there, making sure everything works. Lots of everybody wears a couple of hats on the Great Warrior football team family. And I'm sitting here with now not the D line coach, but the O line coach, the offensive line, and he's also the recruiting coordinator. So yes. I needed to get both titles in there as well. So this is Coach Riley Barnes. Riley, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And, of course, we've had you on the podcast last year. 2 years you were at Eastern Washington University as assistant O-line coach and the senior analyst.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know what an assistant O-line coach is, but what are you analyzing?
So the senior analyst role, I get to work a little bit more with some of the other analysts and making sure that, you know, things are ready for practice and we're getting the correct looks and we got all the kind of, you know, making sure everything's right and tidy for practice. And outside of that, we're doing a ton of film breakdown and making sure that, you know, our guys know exactly what we're expecting for them, whether it's getting them the, you know, the right information about the defense or making sure that we got, you know, just general things laid out for them, ready to go for the entire week.
How did you become an analyst?
You know, I ended up going through a little bit of high school coaching football probably about 5 years, and ended up kind of just deciding I was ready to go into the college world. Had a head coach that I had worked for that kind of gave me the bit of advice to just kind of go after it and chase it and you know, end up, see what happens, and ended up working, you know, like I said, throughout the high school world for about 5 years. Didn't really have any college connections and just ended up reaching out to all the colleges out in Oregon and Washington, and ended up getting really, really lucky at Eastern Washington University and what they were able to, you know, offer me, which was familiarity in the offensive line room, which is something that I've coached for forever now, and that's what I ended up playing in high school, and just got, you know, really blessed to be able to be out there with those guys and really good mentors for myself.
Yeah, so when you watch film, that could you have, are there ways to prepare yourself to be an outstanding film analyst? Like, do you test yourself and say, like, oh, they're, you know, you know what the formation is, and he's like, you got 3 seconds to it. You got a second to identify. Like, how do you get really? We could have competitions. They have competitions at coaches' conferences. Like, you get in there and you like name as many things as you possibly can about this thing, and then you got 5 seconds.
Yeah, I don't think that happens.
We
ever.
We could do that.
We could definitely do that. You know, something in the staff room to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But I'd say it just takes a lot of time to be able to break down tendencies of whether it's a defense or if you're looking at an offense and how they're attacking a defense. A little bit better at it now, you know, when you're going through the analyst roles, you get a ton of things to juggle and responsibilities, yeah. And then you're trying to tag all the film and get ready for the next game and the game after that, to where now it kind of slows down a little bit. You're really analyzing what is the defense presenting when we're in this formation and what is kind of our tendency and what we do out of this formation, how are they going to adapt to it, so... gets a little bit easier as you get longer into it.
Are you working are you a week ahead now? A week ahead you'll be in a bye week. So are you, I guess, 2 weeks ahead? This is a weird, but like in the earlier part of our season, are you breaking down things 2 weeks, and you're obviously focusing on the week at hand, but, I mean, you're started on some of that stuff.
Yeah, towards the end of the week, when you got your game plan ready to go, you feel really confident about it. You want to be able to start looking ahead, you know, whether it's Thursday or Friday, being able to feel confident about what you got going on right now, because you don't want to lose sight of that.
Right.
But being able to start watching whatever opponent is next week. And now, you know, with a bye week, you're able to focus a little bit more on this and worry about breaking down all that stuff, whether it's Saturday after the game or Sunday. And you're not far behind because you got a whole another week still.
So now let's talk about the offensive line. You said you played that, obviously, and you did that in high school. You also went on, you graduated from Western Oregon University, you got an exercise science major. Did you play there?
I played rugby there.
And pretty good rugby, too. Fifth-ranked rugby team, 9-0. That's how you wrapped that season up. How about that?
It was a great time playing rugby for Western Oregon.
I forgot about the rugby part. That's pretty good. It's a good thing I wrote it down here. But you're originally from, how do you say it? Dallas?
The Dalles.
The Dalles,
yeah.
It's spelled D-A-L-L-E.
It gets everybody.
Adam's over there. He's nodding like everybody knows how to say the Dalles. How come you don't know how to say the Dalles? It looks like Dallas or Dalles, but it's the Dalles.
The Dalles.
The Dalles.
The Dalles.
There we
go.
We did talk about that on the podcast. Now that you mention it, that's the way to say it. So tell us a little bit about the Dalles.
The Dalles is a town about 18-ish thousand people.
Okay.
Used to be way back in the day, used to be like a Indian trading kind of fishing market.
Okay.
They ended up putting the Dalles Dam in, and I think that kind of messed with some of that. But big in the cherry orchard world. So I think it's one of the capitals in the world of cherry production. So that's what you got in the Dalles, is a ton of cherry orchards and some grain outside of the Dalles to be able to farm and be able to do all that stuff. So.
Oh, that's fantastic. All kinds of, they have like cherry festivals and things like that?
Yeah, we do have the cherry festival that goes on, I want to say, I know I missed it now. I can't remember the exact date, but end up going with a parade. They got chocolate-covered cherries, and they do all the fun stuff, and they end up having a carnival.
Has Warrant ever stopped by just for fun? How many times have you ever heard, "She's my cherry pie"? Have you ever heard that?
But I don't think they've ever come by, no.
They've never swung by? Town of 18,000 people, the Dalles. We'll get on that, right?
Yeah.
Let them know what's going on.
No,
but you're here now. Maybe we'll have to bring them here. That'll be all right.
Yeah, I don't know how good cherries grow out here, but
I mean, look, they grow. You just got to get to them before the birds do.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're not talking about cherries so much. We're going to go see the Corn Palace this Saturday.
We are.
They're big on corn up there, although Iowa's pretty big on corn, too. And I think we actually do better with the whole corn situation than South Dakota. But they got a Corn Palace over there in Mitchell, and they've got another team we're going to go see. What are we looking at on their defense?
From their defense, they do a lot of different stuff, and they're fairly athletic, especially up front. You know, maybe they're not the biggest, most stout guys, but they're very athletic, and they do a ton of movement. So they like to be able to move and twist and blitz and send different guys in different ways, and that'll be the biggest thing for us to be able to stop is, you know, trying to – what they're trying to do is leak through a guy that you might not account for, your eyes aren't going to, just in your rules and your base offensive scheme. But as long as we're good and disciplined in our rules, we're going to be just fine.
Yeah. So the offensive line this year, I got to give you credit. I mean, this is not your first rodeo. The guys have done a good job. Coach Ani before did a good job bringing them up. You carried that on with big shoes to fill and had no problem doing that. I'm seeing a lot of discipline on the line, on the offense. And also this year, we've got more time in the pocket, which we need because we've had some problems, you know, just establishing our quarterback and things like that. And the line's done a pretty good job.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, really, that's kudos to the offensive line and the guys that they are, being able to adapt to different rules. You know, I brought in different stuff than what they're familiar to, they ended up doing a really good job of just kind of understanding it and the direction that we're going for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, we did have, you know, we've had some, you know, the games haven't gone the way we wanted them to go, and we want the offense to get out there and show everything that it can do, and you guys are obviously a huge part of that. It all starts there right up front. And how are we health-wise with our O-line guys, and how's their attitude?
Good, good. You know, I think the bye week treated them really well, ended up getting a couple of guys back that were dealing with a couple of banged up injuries, but we're just about back to full health, and being able to move guys around I think is super important for the offensive line world. You know, someone that's just a tackle isn't just a tackle, can play guard and be versatile, and someone that's just a guard can play tackle and do some things like that. So I think we're sitting pretty good after the bye week for sure.
It's good to hear. And, of course, health-wise this year, actually we've been pretty good on the offensive line. I know last year we were, boy, we had some times where we were scraping the barrel a little bit, just trying to get, you know, people healthy and in the right spots. And so this year we've done, seemed like we've done pretty good. And so everything since spring ball on has come around, and it looks like the guys are healthy, they're strong, they know their job, and they're looking for a win this Saturday.
Yeah, no, absolutely. They're definitely ready to go for sure.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Coach Riley Barnes, we covered all of the, I mean, not all the analyst stuff, but are you the senior analyst here?
I don't
have that title.
I don't think so.
You threw that in on your bio. I was the senior analyst over. Now here at Waldorf, I'm just a freshman analyst, but someday I will be a senior analyst, and you're handling all that work and doing a good job. And one last question, I guess. How's it to work with the Don?
It's great, you know, someone that...
Sitting right over there. He's like, you better say it's great, buddy.
You know, someone that we can kind of really feed off of each other and what we're thinking. And sometimes, you know, one of us isn't always right, but we got a good enough relationship to be able to kind of pick and prod off of each other of what's the right solution here, and how do we draw this up to make it work correctly. So it's a really good relationship to be able to do those things and be able to know... You know, we're going to be on the same page.
Perfect. Well, I'm glad you're on our page and helping direct the analysis and the O-line looking good. Looking forward to seeing everything come together again this Saturday out there in Mitchell, South Dakota. Coach Riley Barnes, thanks for joining me here. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes right here on Warriors Live after these messages.
At MBT Bank, we understand that harvest time is the heart of the farming year. This is Kent Thoe, Clear Lake Market President and Ag Commercial Loan Officer in Clear Lake. Whether you're in the field today or planning for tomorrow, MBT Bank is your trusted partner in ag lending. We're committed to helping you grow with personalized financial solutions. From harvest to planting next season, we're here to cultivate success together. We're just a call or visit away for all of your financial needs. MBT Bank, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Ryan Harvey, the sales manager at Chrysler of Forest City. Now is a great time to have your vehicle looked over before you hit the open road with our highly trained staff here at Chrysler of Forest City. Or, if you are looking for your next vehicle, stop in and see our experienced sales staff. Our inventory changes daily, so swing by often and see what's new on the lot, or visit our website at ChryslerofForestCity.com.
FCIS Insurance of Forest City is your locally owned and operated independent insurance agency. FCIS is proud to support the Waldorf Warrior football team along with our local high school athletes. We look forward to watching your success on the field and in the gym. When you need a team to support yours, look to the professionals at FCIS Insurance. We carry all lines of insurance from home to life, car to health, RV, and everything in between. See us today at FCISinsurance.com or call us at 641-585-2925. FCIS Insurance Services of Forest City.
Shooter Sports Bar and Grill is proud to host Warriors Live each Wednesday night during the football season. Come and see the show live while enjoying delicious hot wings, specialty burgers, tasty sandwiches and wraps, the best pizza in town, and a cold refreshment. Our kitchen is open Tuesday through Saturday, 11 to 9, and Sunday, 11 to 8. Late night pizzas on Friday and Saturdays until 10 p.m. in the bar. Shooters, your home for Warriors Live Coaches Show. Go Warriors from Shooter Sports Bar and Grill.
All right, well.
welcome back here to Warriors Live at Shooter's Bar and Grill in the north end of town. And we're back in our fourth quarter segment here with head coach Tyler Chapa once again. And, of course, this Saturday we are going to roll on out to Mitchell, South Dakota, and take on Dak West, as Andy Buffington likes to say. Dak West, Dakota Wesleyan. They're 2-5 overall, 1-5 in the GPAC. They beat Doan back in October on the 4th, the beginning of the month, 33-7, and that was in Crete that they did that. What do you think about that, Coach?
Yeah, no, but before we answer that question, okay. This one's for Coach Brummer. I'd like to give a shout-out to all the coaches' wives.
There you go.
Yeah, my wife, Nicole, Michaela, Sydney, Angel.
That's right. There you go.
Emily's around here somewhere. Lord, we love you, too. But, yeah, getting back into that,
yeah.
You know, there was a lot of turnovers that Doan had in that game, and I think that was the main piece to it was – Dak West was playing very, very sound, very solid, but they played it a pretty safe game. And, you know, I think Doan was trying to get a little bit, greedy at points. And, you know, he was throwing interceptions and they had some fumbles. And so anytime one team is doing a little bit too much and one's playing pretty safe, pretty sound, you know, it's always going to be a little bit lopsided.
We haven't seen Doan yet. They're going to come later in our schedule. We've got Dak West this week. They lost to Morningside a couple of weeks ago at home, 49-17. But they did score 17 points on Morningside.
They did, and their quarterback, you know, he's a sophomore.
Mm-hmm. Redshirt sophomore, yeah.
He's fast, he's mobile, he can throw the football a little bit. So, you know, that's what you're going to get in a game like that against a team like that. You know, maybe they put some of their backups in later in the game. But, you know, they did that. You know, they scored more points than we did. So it's going to be a team that is going to – I mean, they're going to do a lot of things right. I played for Coach Bessler, who was their defensive coordinator, which I'm sure you know that already. And he's a very sound football – maybe you do. I don't know. But he's a very sound football guy, and he's very attention to detail, and he's going to have those guys ready to go on defense for sure.
Well, they had an extra time, extra week, just like we did, to prepare. They have homecoming this weekend on Saturday in Mitchell, South Dakota, and they have had a bye week as well, so they've had a little bit of time to get try to get healthy and try to do some of those things. So how are they looking? I've heard that they are that they've got some younger guys on their O-line at least.
Yeah, I mean, they're, you know, you get this far into the season, you're going to be pretty beat up just like anybody. Mm-hmm. And they got some guys back, but yeah, they got some, you know, they only have one true freshman starting. Everybody else is a redshirt freshman, so at least they're a second year freshman. You know, they're not playing and they were playing high school football last year, so they've got a little bit of experience under their belt. So, but they are young, and defensively, you know, they've got a good defensive line. Their starters, their three starters are really good. They're, like Coach said, they're not the heaviest guys, but they're
athletic,
all 6'2 plus. And then after that, that's where the freshmen come in. And you know, I know that our guys know, I know that at defensive line, you're going to rotate those guys a lot. I mean, those guys can't play the whole game. They're getting contact, they're going 100 miles an hour every single play. It's one of the, you know, in the trenches, life in the trenches is tough. So there's going to be, we've got young guys playing, they've got young guys playing. It's going to be who can be, you know, can we limit explosive plays and can we make the least amount of mistakes? And then special teams, I think, is going to be a big role in all of this.
Well, they lost to Dort, Concordia, Northwestern, and Briarcliff, but they put up 22 points against Concordia, losing 27-22. That was a close one for them against the Bulldogs.
It was, and that was early in the season.
Yeah.
And everybody was, I think, they were at their strongest with some of the guys. But, yeah, they've had a slew of running backs that have played. They've had about three or four different guys that have played. But I think their quarterback's a good player. I think he looks... he's an athlete that can throw the football, and can they protect him? That's going to be the biggest question, and we're going to do everything we can to exploit that.
You're talking about number 6, Chad Jensen, a redshirt sophomore, played all 7 games this season so far, 1,403 yards passing. He's got 55% on his completion rate, and he's thrown 8 interceptions, so we look forward to a few more of those. What do you know? I mean, you talked about Jed a little bit there, but they love to pass the ball.
They do.
They love to air it out.
And a lot of it is quick game, as we call it. So you're snapping the ball, you get 3 steps, and you're throwing it.
Okay.
And so Can we take away his first read? Can we understand where his first read's going to be? But I think everything I've watched, he's a 1-2 run. If he doesn't like it, he's going to get out of there. Okay. And he's going to run. And so that's the other thing. He they'll do a lot of zone read option stuff where he has the option of keeping it. And when he gets out in space, he's dangerous. And, he's only about 170 pounds, and so he's maybe not going to run over you, but he can run around you. Yeah. So we've got to be very, very aware of where he is and what he's doing.
Well, his first look might be number three. That wide receiver is a senior named Cole Holden. He's got all seven games this year, and he's been playing since he was a freshman. So he's a senior, 669 yards receiving this season, and 5 TDs. That's we're looking for number three.
Yeah, and he's their biggest. He's about 6'2", 6'3", 215, 220 pounds, something like that. And so he'll line up not – all on the line as a tight end, but close to the line of scrimmage or close to the tackle.
Okay.
And they'll do some different things with him. So number three is going to be a guy we have to take away for sure.
All right. So then I looked at their running back situation, but like their last game, the guy's like the leading running back at 16 yards. So they're running, but they're not this is not a like we're, who are
yeah,
we looking
and,
for? In
yeah,
that?
And I think they're a little bit opposite of what we were.
Yeah.
I think they like to throw the football quickly. I think they have a lot of good playmakers that they can get it to. And running the football, they have to, every offense has to try to run the football no matter what to keep everyone honest. And
yeah.
But, number five is their starting running back. He started the last couple games, number two. He's a little bit of a smaller guy, 5'7", I think he is. But he started the season as the starting running back. Number 20's played a little bit. So they've had some guys. But even in their pass game, they'll throw stuff lateral. But that's just an extension of the run game.
Sure.
It's a lot of the outside zone stuff. So you get it to the receiver out there. You got some guys blocking for him. So those are counted as a pass, but really it's really an extension of the run game. So they do a lot of shifts and motions, and they'll give you some eye candy. They'll motion one way, run back the other way. And so can we be the more disciplined team? That's going to be the question, and those are things we're working on.
Well, we've obviously got the two deeps out there, so you've exchanged those and everything. Might as well tell everybody who we've got back, and starting with our quarterback.
Yeah, so Chris will be back. He was technically cleared against Dort. He got cleared for Tuesday. He could have played. I felt like going into the last couple games of the season, I wanted him to be at full strength. I knew we had a bye week, but he's been practicing. He's technically been taking the number three quarterback reps, which he has not loved that because you don't get a lot of them.
Yeah.
During the bye week, he took the number two reps, and then this week he's worked himself back into the number one reps. And he has to earn it, too.
Yeah.
He has to show us that he can do it. He hasn't played football in 2 months.
Yeah.
He's going to be excited. The players are excited. I think it's going to open up our run game a little bit, but we're excited to have Chris back.
Very good. All right, we'll come back to wrap it up in just 2 minutes here with head coach Tyler Chapa as we roll into a homecoming week for, what are they?
The Tigers. Yeah, the Blue Tigers.
I forgot about the blue part. All right, we'll be back in 2 minutes after these messages from our sponsors.
At MBT Bank, we understand that harvest time is the heart of the farming year. It's a season of hard work, pride, and perseverance. This is Darren Teal, Ag Loan Officer at MBT Bank in Forest City. As your trusted ag lending partner, MBT is here to support you every step of the way. We wish all of our local farmers a bountiful and safe harvest. Remember, we're just a call or visit away for all your financial needs. MBT Bank, member FDIC.
FCIS Insurance of Forest City is your locally owned and operated independent insurance agency. FCIS is proud to support the Waldorf Warrior football team along with our local high school athletes. We look forward to watching your success on the field and in the gym. When you need a team to support yours, look to the professionals at FCIS Insurance. We carry all lines of insurance from home to life, car to health, RV, and everything in between. See us today at FCISinsurance.com or call us at 641-585-2925. FCIS Insurance Services of Forest City.
Hello, this is Leah at Shooter's Sports Bar and Grill. With football season back in full swing, don't forget to stop by after the games on Friday and Saturdays for our late night pizzas from 9 to 10 p.m. here at Shooter's Sports Bar and Grill.
Hi, this is Ryan Harvey, the sales manager at Chrysler of Forest City. Now is a great time to have your vehicle looked over before you hit the open road with our highly trained staff here at Chrysler of Forest City. Or, if you are looking for your next vehicle, stop in and see our experienced sales staff. Our inventory changes daily, so swing by often and see what's new on the lot, or visit our website at ChryslerofForestCity.com.
Welcome back here to Warriors Live here at Shooters Bar and Grill as we wrap up our show here once again in this bye week. We just want to say thanks to our title sponsor, MBT Manufacturers Bank and Trust, the Shooters Bar and Grill, where we are now. FCIS, that's Farm and City Insurance Services, and Pritchard's Forest City Auto Center and Chrysler of Forest City. I want to say thanks to Melmac at the station, and I got to run the camera this time and the soundboard. I'll be happy to see Josiah back next week. And, of course, you can join the Gridiron Club. We encourage you to do that. Support the Warrior football team and all they do. And we'll see you in the shadow of the Corn Palace in Mitchell, South Dakota, this Saturday at 2 p.m. for kickoff. And forever and always, go Warriors! Yeah.
KIOW Forest City. Listen at Mix 107.3 FM, online at KIOW.com, and on your Alexa device. KIOW is a Koloff Media station.